The first lesson for today is from Nehemiah. All the people gathered together into the square before the water gate. They had told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear him with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of all the men and the women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. The scribe Ezra stood on a wooden platform that had been made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on his right hand, and Pedaiah, Mishael, Malchijah, Hashem, Hashbadanah, Zechariah, and Meshulam on his left hand. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Haman, Akub, Shabbathai, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peleah, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their places. So they read from the book, from the law of God with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The second lesson for today is from Luke. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and report about him was spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him. Then he began to say to them, Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious and most merciful God, the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be accepted in my sight. Amen. I'm out of sight. One of the things that struck me this week, one thing that I forgot for those of you who are members of this congregation, not these strange people, strangers walking up the street, is the connection that my ministry of 47 years has with this congregation. There's a picture back there on the wall, the Wallace Stair. Some of you I know probably know her, most of you don't. Wallace was a member of this congregation, an elder, and she was elected the first woman as moderator of the Presbyterian Church back in 1971. At that time, I had hair and was 22 years old and was a delegate, was a youth advisory delegate to that General Assembly. And it was at that General Assembly that I looked around and saw what the church was doing in terms of civil rights and in terms of anti-war work and in terms of other kinds of things and decided to start this journey, which ends today. And as I ended, I keep thinking about the joys of this congregation and the stuff that you all have done as a congregation. And it's not always been easy, I know. And it's not always been simple. But it's always been an attempt to witness to what you believe was God's presence in this place. And not just this particular place, but out there. If it wasn't for that, the caring place wouldn't be here, and all the other programs you participated in. Now I say that thinking about what we read this morning from Luke. Luke's, one of the four Gospels, and each Gospel has its own version and vision of who this guy was, who we call Jesus, the Christ. For Matthew, Jesus is the new Moses, come to lead the people out of Israel. For Mark, he's a martyr who dies on the cross. For John, he's the Word of God made incarnate in a human being. For Luke, Luke's interest is in outcasts and is in making sure that everyone understands that Jesus is part of the people of Israel, the Jewish nation. Remember, Luke is the only gospel which emphasizes the mother of Jesus, an unwed teenager who gets pregnant and has a baby. And does he have a baby in the hospital gathered where friends and family are all gathered and there's medical personnel there to take care of her? But Luke tells us that the birth happened in that stable, the one we always put up here at Christmas. And the witnesses were pretty much the lowest of the low. Shepherds. People who worked out there in the hinterlands taking care of the flocks. Most of which they probably didn't own, but were working for someone else. And here, the story we read this morning, this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry in Luke. And Luke emphasizes a couple of things. One is, it's in his hometown. It's in his home synagogue in Nazareth. And the second thing he emphasizes is that he takes the scroll. I don't know how many of you have ever been to a Jewish synagogue or tabernacle and participated. You know, they keep the scrolls up behind and have the other roll. And Luke says, they unrolled the scroll and he found that place in Isaiah. And what is he reading? He reads one of the most challenging parts of Isaiah. Isaiah doesn't say, well, now you come to me and you be comfortable and everything should be okay. Jesus starts his ministry by saying to people, I have come to free the oppressed, give sight to the blind, lift up the poor. And remember, there's two things that I think we need to remember. First of all, this is an honor-shame society, culture. This is a place where people are looked at not as individuals, but as part of a group. So if you are poor, or you are oppressed, or you are blind, or you are in prison, that doesn't just reflect on you, it reflects on all of your people. And it's something to be thought bad, not just about you, but about everybody else. So whatever you did reflected on your group. And he reads this in a society at a time when the Romans are there. And the Romans are the ones who imprison people. It's the Romans who oppress people through the taxation system. It's the Romans who are in charge. And what is Jesus? Jesus said, they're all going to be free. They're all going to be okay. This is nothing if not a political statement by Jesus about the society, about their culture. A challenge to the people who are there. To think about the kind of society you want to live in. The kind of culture you want to grow and be a part of. That's the beginning of that ministry. So for 173 3 years, this congregation has been trying, struggling, and doing that. Many of you may not know this. I didn't know it until a few weeks ago. Carroll College started in the basement, 1846. Right? You know that? This congregation was here. Think about how that problem started. Somebody said, you know, I really kind of like my kids to learn. So they don't need to learn. They need a job without going to school. They don't need to read literature, study humanities. 7 years later, you started a program for working with people who had forms of dementia. And they were older, and some of them sitting in their homes, literally starving to death. And so you said, wait a minute, we need to do something about this. So you started the Aaron House, a place where people bring their relatives, husbands, wives, sisters, brothers, parents, for a day. All of those things stand strongly in the shadow or on the shoulders of Isaiah in the beginning of Jesus' ministry. All of them challenged what was given. And you said, wait, it's not working. And we believe it's not working, not because we're Democrats, Republicans, or whatever, but because we're Christians. Because we believe God calls us to change things. So, let me leave you with this thought. Continue to dare to be who you are. Presbyterians, you slice your arm, you bleed the Book of Order. Struggle with what it means to do that here and continue to be uncomfortable. Not just because the pews are awful. I still think they should all be burned and make a great bonfire, especially on a day like today. But be uncomfortable because God calls us to free the oppressed, to tear down the walls of the prisons, to welcome the stranger. Even these things. Thank you all for your support and for your kindness and for your giving. Let us pray. Out of the world's comfort and ease, you call us to be uncomfortable, to ask questions, and to wonder. Enable us to know your presence and to know your call, that we might continue to be your people in this place and in this time. We ask these things in your name, for your sake. Amen.